and all, once again to Notes on the Rocks, episode 173. I am joined this week by Dan.
Hello.
And hopefully his internet sticks around long enough, Sean.
Yay!
This week we are going to talk about Mario Kart, the most fan-friendly, fantastic, friend-making game in the world. I mean, there's nothing that bonds friends closer than a game of Mario Kart.
There was some true about that statement there.
Well, I was using it fictitiously just because it tends to be... It's where everybody earns their colorful language from when you're a kid.
Oh, it's like literally like an all-out square fest when I play with my friends.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I mean, it's partially because this, I think, and we'll get to this, I guess, with the review show later on. I think that's the genius of Mario Kart, is it's a game that anybody can play, and you can be good at it. But at the same time, even if you're bad, the game compensates for that. So everybody always has at least a fighting chance of pulling off a victory.
Well, it's because Mario Kart in particular, among party games, has a really good rubber banding effect to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the genius of hiding it from... Like, it's worse when you're playing single player because the AI does it and you can kind of tell, but when you're playing with friends, it's harder to see because, like, usually what happens is the rubber band in that case is just that the person in the last place will just get a ton of items that can throw everybody in front of them, and the person in the first place generally doesn't get as many defensive items, so it's usually kept close. I always say that the Blue Show, I think, is a necessary evil in what they're going for, which is a chaotic party racer. It's not necessarily a sim or even an arcade racer.
Right.
Because I think those value skill more than they do anything.
Yeah, and it's not like Mario Kart's played exceptionally competitively. I mean, there are places out there, but it's a little different because it's a party game.
Yeah, I was watching IGN's livestream of Mario Kart 8, which I should say is the reason we're doing this podcast, because as of this recording, it's out in a day and a half, but when this comes out, it'll be out this Friday when this goes up.
Yeah.
And they played a map with no items on, and what happens is it pretty much stays the same race throughout, because once you kind of get a lead, there's really nothing in Mario Kart that helps close the gap. Because it's straight racing, like, there isn't a ton of technique to it, and there isn't a ton of things you can do if you're not in first after a while with no items on. So, competitively, it would kind of be
the
boring.
The only one that I found was the worst place was the one for Super Nintendo, and I think you're right. It really kind of migrated to a party game and more balanced, but Mario Kart for Super Nintendo, like, I went back and played it a lot there last year, and it's still a lot of fun, but if you're not generally good at racing games, the skill level will definitely set you apart. Like, it's very, very easy to win if you're good at it, where I find any other Mario Kart game that I've played, it's not so much like that. You're right. It is, a lot of it does based on your, basically your luck at getting your items and different things like that. So I found in the Wii version, my only complaint was that, and I talked to you about this, Earl, was I thought the item balance was like way too crazy. It just seemed like if you were in first place or even remotely in the first 3 to 5 people, you were just getting bombarded by items, and then I found it more annoying than anything, than fun, but yeah, there's my rant.
I had similar complaints with Mario Kart for Wii, but for different reasons. I don't know if, Earl, you plan on like going through each game in the series in a specific order, but I mean, I can wait until later to talk about my complaints.
I was going to go in an order. I was going to ask more questions with your experience with the franchise, but I guess we can... I guess Sean kind of mentioned this, and I'm kind of curious with you. What was your first Mario Kart? What was your first experience with the franchise?
Ooh, my first Mario Kart game was Mario Kart 64, because I forget what year it came out. I'm not, like, the biggest on Mario Kart lore and whatnot, but I was a kid, and I had an N64. Was my second console. I had a Super Nintendo for a brief stint before I got my N64, but 64 was my first one.
Yeah, like, with... with me, like it was obviously Super Mario Kart. My fan, like I grew up in like a not a very wealthy family, so I seemed to get the consoles once they were like severely marked down when the new consoles were coming out or just came out. So I got like the Super Nintendo like a couple months before the 64 came out, and got the 64 a couple months before the GameCube came out. So it's like a generation behind.
That's how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say that is the best way because then you know how the good games to get.
That's true too.
Yeah, and I think I kind of felt left out when I was a kid because a lot of my friends like had the newer consoles. So I think why the new consoles when they come out and really bit me in the ass when it came to PS4 because like still nothing for it. You know, Watch Dogs. Watch Dogs is sick. It's really good. But anyways,
I don't want to deviate from the Mario Kart conversation, but it is kind of funny. The one generation I think would be the worst to experience this for would be from N64 to GameCube because that jump is just staggering.
Yeah, I
just think it's a good thing, especially like you said with Lego Place. Like, what happens even if you get it a year or two later, you get a full library and you can kind of go back and play those games instead of kind of waiting for each game to come out. I mean, the counter to that argument, and I guess I'm countering myself, would be that if you have a system and there aren't a ton of games you want, you tend to try out more stuff to use it. Like we were saying before the show started, how you've been trying out a lot of the Wii U's in these titles. Because they haven't had a retail release since Donkey Kong in February, and we're now in May, so 3 months.
Pretty much.
But yeah, and I guess kind of going to the original question, my first experience was also Super Mario Kart. I honestly don't remember how I played it, and I can honestly tell you, I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan of it too much, and then I never had Mario Kart 64. I got Super Circuit, but my tenure with the Game Boy Advance, I think I might have mentioned, I don't think I've mentioned on this show, was really short-lived. I have a lot of siblings, and I don't know whom, but one of them decided that it would be in their best interest to pawn my Game Boy Advance off, and I never got a new one after that.
Nice.
So my tenure with Super Circuit was short-lived. So even though Super Mario Kart was my first Mario Kart, the one that I kind of have the actual exposure to was Double Dash. That was kind of the first one that I got, and in hindsight, I don't even know why I got it, because I wasn't a fan, but I think the GameCube, going back to the point I was just making, was one of those systems where I got it for like Smash Brothers, and then there was a bunch of times where there just wasn't a ton of games coming out, so you would try. That's when I got into a lot of Nintendo franchises. That's when I tried Metroid Prime. That was my first Metroid game. It's when I tried Wind Waker, even though that wasn't my first Zelda game. I had tried Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask before that. But yeah, and then I got Mario Kart. And really what happened, and I assume this is going to be a similar story with you, like Mario Kart is fine and fun when you're playing GP, but really the star of it has always been the multiplayer. And playing with friends.
I agree. And what I've actually really enjoyed about previous Mario Kart games, again, like I don't know why I just didn't really like the Wii one very much, but I found that when you put it like on 150cc on any of the other Mario Kart games that I played, and I've never played any of the handheld ones, so I don't really know how they held up. Like I played, I think it was Mario Kart, I want to say 7. Is that the one that came out for 3DS?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, I played like a demo of that. That's about it.
Is it a demo of that? Huh.
But I found the 150cc was like, it was actually really challenging in previous games. Anyway,
MIA.
But the Mario Kart Wii, like I didn't find playing against, AI was really that challenging. So yeah, I found that that one really, relied on multiplayer to be fun, but I mean, I was living in Halifax when Mario Kart Wii came out with a couple of roommates, and we played it, probably for a couple of weeks, and then we had like a decent amount of fun with Mario Kart Wii, and we kind of wanted to go back and play Double Dash, and then we never played Mario Kart Wii again because Double Dash is just so good.
Yeah, I think I had like a pretty poor experience with Mario Kart Wii because of like I played it with the Wii Wheel, and I didn't learn to play it with the GameCube controller at first, because I was like, I'm going to give this a try, give it the benefit of the doubt. And of course, it ended up being that the GameCube controllers was the way to go if you wanted like tighter controls, more competitive, etc. So all my friends played on GameCube, and I played on Wii Wheel, and they were smoking me. And I'm like, this just isn't fun. Can we go back to Double Dash? I'm actually good at that one. This is a fun one.
And I'm going to disagree with that. I actually found personally speaking, the superior setup was the Wiimote and Nunchuck. Just because it allowed you to kind of do everything on one hand while staying with the other one. I think with the GameCube one, if I'm not mistaken, you had to use the D-pad for weapons? Or is it D-pad for tricks?
Are you talking in Wii or in Double Dash?
In Wii.
I didn't play the Wii version with the GameCube controller, so I don't know the controls specifically. I played only with Wii Remote.
I think that was it, though.
I think up on the D-pad was items or something like that.
Yeah, and I found that weird. So I did it with the Wiimote Nunchuck because you had items with like the button underneath your trigger on your left hand, and then gas, and like anybody actually uses the brake was the B button.
I didn't know there was a brake.
I know. I don't know why they continue to put a brake button in there. Like, you need a go button and a drift button, that's it.
I guess it's just for the people who are exceptionally bad at it, or, like, when your five-year-old brother is playing it, and he just gets himself stuck in, like, this little rut, and he has to find some way to get out, he can't go forward.
But even then, doesn't the game, I thought the game, after a while, doesn't it pick you up and put you in the right direction, or is that something?
Maybe?
Was there a reset?
I think there is.
I don't think it automatically does it. I think in Double Dash there was a reset button. I think in 64 there was a reset button. It was one of the yellow arrows. I assume there was because it was in two games before that. But it was an actual button, so it basically, if you were turned around or whatever. Otherwise, you can just go in the wrong direction and sabotage the race, and it won't even do anything.
Okay, I just never thought of that. It's one of those things you just think, like, you're always going forward, so why bother? I'm actually pretty bad at using the brake button in any racing game.
Oh. I had a question. Oh, do you know if you can use it, like, is the hardcore controller for, is it going to work? I haven't been able to find anything.
The Pro Controller? I don't know.
Isn't it called the Hardcore, or was it the last?
It's called the Pro Controller.
It's called the Pro Controller. Okay, as far as I know, because somebody just asked me this on Twitter, as far as I know, I can confirm that it works with the gamepad, it works with the Wiimote, and it works with the Wiimote and Nunchuck, and it works with the Wii U game Pro Controller. I don't know if it works with the classic controller from the Wii, though. That's the only one I don't know. Everything else it works with.
The real question as far as controls go is, will it get a patch for when they release the old-school GameCube controller in November with Smash Bros?
I assume that the old-school controller with Smash is going to work like a Pro controller.
Probably.
So it's probably just finding a... The thing is, I don't know how... Because I don't think you can map the buttons in Mario Kart. So it might be weird. Well, I guess it wouldn't be, because A's a giant button, and then, again, we just mentioned how B's break, and nobody ever uses that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that probably won't be an issue.
Gas turn-in items, that's all you need.
Yes, yes. Especially the item button. And
jumping and tricks are optional.
Tricks are optional, but drifting is pretty strategic.
This is why I prefer the Wiimote and Nunchuck configuration for the Wii version, is because Trix was just kind of flicking the remote, so I always just found it easy, to get off a jump and just kind of flick it up. It was just easier than remembering to press a button, which I think is what you had to do in the 3DS version.
Yeah.
Even Trix are cool, but they don't really, they give you a tiny speed boost, it doesn't really do a ton.
I actually watched a video today, and apparently, like, this one has the coins in it, and for every coin that you get, it gives you the slightest speed boost as well.
Yeah, it's a top speed boost, just like in Diddy Kong Racing did it first, actually. Super Nintendo version actually did it first, but then Diddy Kong Racing did it, and then no Mario Kart game in between 7 and Super Nintendo had it.
Yeah. I think Super Circuit might have had it.
Maybe. I didn't play Super Circuit. That was the only one I haven't played.
Super Circuit is my least favorite of them all. I don't know why, but I have it on my 3DS because it was one of the Ambassador games, and I really just can't go back to that.
Yeah, I tried it once, and I was like, well, this just isn't really that fun. because it's just me.
Yeah, it was before they got a handle on how to make a proper handheld Mario Kart game with DS several years later. I guess the other question is, what are your thoughts on battle, and which game has your favorite battle mode?
My favorite battle mode is going to be on Double Dash, because that was the game that I played the most with my friends. It's also would have been my favorite if Mario Kart 7 hadn't been so dang good. But I love the bomb battle in Double Dash.
Oh my
so
god,
fun.
The bomb bash is amazing. That was all we played in college. I mean, we studied too, of course. But yeah, that was. I'm so disappointed they never brought that back into other games. Like,
yeah,
they have
same.
A version of it of in 7, but it's not the same thing. 7, I think, is... Well, 7, you have to create it yourself, but I believe 7 is, like, it's just the 3 balloons. It's not necessarily a point system.
Yeah.
And it was just fun seeing your character holding, like, 5 bombs in the air for no reason.
Yeah, because you can hold, like, I think it's 8 bombs is the max. So you can hold 2 stacks of 8, and you can just, like... I just loved racking all of them up and then going into the center of the stage and
just
packing that button.
Yeah, just pop behind you. Especially if somebody's, I mean, that would be something I guess later on when you have people who can tell you to get a speed boost, but if somebody's telling you, just drop them all behind you.
Yeah.
And just create this train reaction. It was also amazing on like, the GameCube stage because it's a flat surface. So what would happen if somebody would just kind of go around the item boxes and just start lobbying it across the map?
Yep.
I really do miss for Bombast, and I was disappointed that it didn't come back in 7. But I was doubly disappointed in Wii because Wii had that really stupid team-only battle mode.
I never even played battle on Wii, so I don't even know what the Wii game modes are.
It was just, it was 6-on-6. Well, I mean, it was up to 6-on-6, and you had to do teams. It was red versus blue. There was no free-for-all or anything like that. So it wasn't as fun. It cast the people are your friends. Like, what's the point in that?
That's really weird.
Yeah, it's extremely weird. I didn't like it at all, and apparently neither did. Okay, let me go back a bit. I wouldn't mind a team that the team Bombast or team Balloon Battle in Mario Kart, but I think that should be the alternative. And I also hate the fact that unless I'm mistaken, there's no teams in Mario Kart 8. So I don't like the fact that they're taking that out. I just didn't like the fact when it was the only option.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is that. And it's one of those things with Nintendo, like, some people say they don't like it, so okay, we're just not going to put it back. Not like, oh, okay, people didn't like it for this reason, so we're going to put it in, but we're also going to make sure that normal battle's in, because I brought it up because a lot of people are disappointed how battle mode's done in Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, the good old, as I call it, the good old Nintendo 2 steps forward, 1 step sideways.
Like I said, I think it's a great idea. You take the maps you already have and you kind of retrofit them for battle mode. That sounds terrific on paper. If you retrofit them for battle mode and not just like, okay, we're just going to cut off a piece of this map. And, yeah, because what happens, and I've seen a lot of videos, and it's not just if you, like what happens is you drive around and you don't see anybody because the map is so wide. And even when you do, you kind of cross paths, and there's, like we mentioned with the brake button, there's really no quick way to turn around.
Yeah.
You either end up really driving in this weird angle, or you just trying to continue driving around hoping you see somebody again. Honestly, I think they should have made it smaller, and they should have included a quick turn button for multiplayer. Like, just, like, right, like, left trigger or something, and it automatically turns you 180, even if it's non-practical. It's a game about a monkey throwing giant turtle shells at people and cars, so I don't think you have to go with realism there.
That's pretty true. Or even if there was, like, a harder drift sort of button or something like that,
yeah,
you could drift a little bit faster.
Yeah, but it's weird that everybody's kind of begging for DLC in that regard, because usually we want to avoid DLC.
Yeah. Well, in theory. But Nintendo's pretty good about DLC so far, so.
I like the classic battle mode from 64 in Super Mario Kart with just the 3 balloons. I love that.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I wish they, again, it's kind of the options. And I think, you know, that's kind of the thing with most Nintendo games. It's like there's a lot of times when they kind of experiment. And that experiment may not work or may not be for everybody, but what they do is they just kind of drop it and not revisit it.
Mm.
Double Dash.
Yeah, Double Dash, for example. I love this concept of the two car racer of having character specific weapons, because you had that two pronged strategy. Who do you pick? What weapons do they have? Because you never wanted to pick the same person. You didn't want to pick Bowser and Baby Bowser Jr. You didn't want to pick Mario and Luigi. You didn't want to pick Toad and Toadette because they got the same items. You wanted to pick somebody like Luigi and Toadette. So you got the three green shells, and you got the three super mushrooms.
Three green shells was Koopa, actually. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Luigi's was the fireball.
Okay, so the fireball. Or the babies who had the giant chain chomp. Which almost all of those became standard weapons in Mario Kart 8 or on.
Yeah, which is a little disappointing because it was cool to see them have some exclusivity. Like, I always played as the Red Koopa or Paratroopa and Toadette, so I always had like the same two item configuration. But it was kind of annoying later on in games when I was just see like the same old items. Like, I'm getting Chain Chomp eventually and stuff like that. And it's like, well, this was a little special last time.
Yeah, and it also made it kind of a competition because you always wanted to get those characters before your friends picked them. Because everybody wanted the Toads because they came with the three mushrooms, and then you'd get like somebody else. And it's always like, you know, like because it was always the person in the highest weight class. So you also kind of wanted to try to get a, like, if you're going for that, you want to get two lightweights or you want to get two medium class people. You don't want like a baby and you want like a giant thing because the weight classes are so weird. But yeah, it was an extra element of strategy, and something that the game kind of switched with after Mario Kart Double Dash, because before that it was based on the characters you picked. They had stats.
Yep.
And then
basic
after,
stats though.
Yeah. And after that it became the carts that had the stats.
Yeah, it kind of, I always saw it as like an evolution. As much as I missed the Double Dash mechanic, and the item mechanic as well as the character mechanic, it was sort of like a stepping stone to where we are now, where it's like Double Dash had the characters as your sort of, you could choose your weight class, and then you could also choose your item config. And then DS sort of had, you can choose your chassis versus your character, and it has different stats that way. And then Mario Kart 7 really puts it into overdrive with having stats on all different parts of the cart and character. So it's like an evolution in a way.
Yeah, I like it because it gives everybody, not only does it give everybody, you know, like you still have the weight classes, but it gives everybody kind of a personality because it could be that this happens in Mario Kart 8, it probably happens in 7, but usually not everybody has the same two vehicles because you have three different parts to configure. Like, you really only have two main ones. With the body and the glider, like, the wheels aren't that big of a deal.
I would say the wheels are a bigger deal than the glider, especially because in 7, the gliders are all largely the same stats. They're largely cosmetic.
It's also kind of, I guess, kind of gave you something else to unlock, because in previous games it was mostly just the characters.
Yeah.
Where they started adding, I think with Double Dash, it was the characters. And then with, I want to say, is it DS, you started unlocking specific cards because everybody had their own types of cards.
Yeah.
And then with, I think 7 on, you had different parts of the vehicles that you unlocked.
Yeah, 7 is at every 100 coins or so, you get a different, either part of the thing or a character.
I thought the characters were unlocked with the cups.
Maybe, actually. It's been a while since I actually had to unlock things in 7.
Yeah, I haven't. Honestly speaking, I haven't unlocked anything. I haven't unlocked everything, I should say, in the Wii or 7, because I find single player to be fun for a bit, but it does get tedious, and I always kind of drop and make, I'll come back to it later. And then usually what happens is I just play online with friends for a bit, and that's pretty much my Mario Kart experience, and I'll pick it up every so often. and I expect the same thing to happen with 8, but it's always fun while it lasts, and you have friends who... It's one of those games I enjoy playing with friends, so it doesn't matter if I play for a weekend or if I play for 3 years. I just have fun with it, and I will have fun with this game. I know that much. It may not be the greatest... Like, the only one I think that had a compelling single-player stuff was the DS1, and I'm sad, again, going talking about two steps forward, one step back, is that no other game has had that mission mode.
Yeah, that's true too, actually.
The Wii one had something similar with the wiki challenges, and those were kind of fun, and surprisingly, they had enough of them for so many weeks. But it wasn't the same thing because it was in built into the game, and it was a time like, oh, you can do this for a week, and then it's gone.
Yeah, but I mean, it adds some sort of replayability to it because you have, you, instead of having a set amount built into the game, you have so many every week. But there's pros and cons either way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could have done both. You could have had the mission mode and then had the wiki challenge, which is just kind of changing around those things, which is basically what the wiki challenges in Mario Kart Wii were. It was just like, we'll take these assets and we'll create some type of challenge for you. And they did some new stuff with like boss battles and the likes, but it was fun. But again, it was something you had to check out for, and it wasn't all, you know, if you enjoyed one, you can't go back to it. You just came back in the cycle or something like that. Kind of continuing on that, I guess the next, we've talked about the games, we talked about the battle mode and kind of GP. I guess the other thing would be the courses, the actual courses in this game, in these games, I should say. I guess the thing is, like, where do they come from?
Well, sometimes they come directly from the games, as like the Donkey Kong stage from 7 comes to mind, because Retro actually made that stage for the game, stuff like that.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Some of them did, and I mean, like the ultimate, the final stage in every Mario Kart game is Rainbow Road.
Yep.
And Rainbow Road's an interesting one, because Rainbow Road was a secret path in Super Mario World, which isn't actually a stage.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, this should be our final stage. Like, where did that, like, who decided that? But it works.
It is pretty funny. But they all tend to sort of have their own sort of themes to them. Like, Peach's is typically a castle. Daisy's is typically, like, a resort of some sort. Mario's and Luigi's are typically just normal circuits, with Mario's being the harder one than Luigi's. Stuff like that. Bowser always has his castle, for example.
Yeah, Bowser's castle made sense. Maybe it has sense in Super Mario Kart, where he had, like, 5 of them. But...
Yeah. Well, there's like, there's generally, well, I don't know if it's just been recycled. I can't remember, but there's always the Toad's Turnpike as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
so they all tend to have their own sort of niches they fall into as sort of like the typical ones, except for Mario Kart 64, I don't think fit as typically into that, because they had some sort of stages like Moo Moo Ranch, where it's like, where actually is that from?
Well, that's what I mean. They continue that with, I mean, every game has something like that. Like, one of my personal favorites, well, actually my favorite stage in the franchise is Baby Park. And it's like, it's an awesome stage, because it's just an oval.
Yeah, no, it's genius, actually. It's just a little pill shape, but it's so small, and there are no boundaries in between the laps, that you can flip things from the other side of your like, part of the map. And you can interfere with someone who's, like, 3 laps ahead of you on the same course. It's awesome.
And because it's just, everybody's always kind of kept together no matter what. It's like seven laps, but everybody's always together. And it was also really awesome. That was the stage you always pick Bowser Jr. or Bowser.
Yep.
Because that giant green shot was just right there.
But it's like a genius stage. It's the little things about Baby Park that make it awesome. Like, it's just long enough to where it's not literally just you holding down the drift button the whole time, or the boundary in the center isn't like breaking apart the lap, so when you send out shells, it'll actually go over them, and somebody who is just crossing the finish line will be hit by it, someone who's halfway across the course. It's small stuff like that that I think makes that stage awesome.
Yeah, it's a fantastic stage, and honestly, that was our Rainbow Road in Double Dash. That was the stage you always settled the grudge on. And kind of going back to our original point, because that was the stage where anything can happen, because there is no way to, like, you can gain an advantage, but then you can get pelted by 50 items, because first place was with 12th place, because the track is so small that everybody's kind of intersecting with everybody else at the same time.
Yeah, you could actually be in the same place as first and 12th place and be like a lap or two behind each other.
Yeah. But, I mean, going back to the original point, that came out of nowhere. There's a new one in this stage where it's like you're going down a mountain. There aren't a ton of mountains in Mario games. Ironic enough, for a platformer, you don't climb up mountains.
Which is interesting, too, because, like, it would be cool to see mountains and, like, different locations taken from other Mario games. Like, Luigi's Mansion got a stage, and that was really cool. And, like, it would be cool to see Paper Mario stages would be amazing in this.
That would
sort of
be
thing.
Awesome.
Stuff like that, like, little spin-off stages inside the Mario Kart games would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, especially being that the Mario Kart games are generally speaking, once a generation. So that means that there's enough, like, between, I mean, I guess between 7 and 8, there would have been, what, 3 Mario games? Because 3D and New Super Mario Bros. U and 2 and then Super Mario 3D World all came out.
Yeah.
So you could have taken inspirations from any of those 4 games. Like, granted, 3D, like, some of them are very similar, but, like, it would have been awesome if you had, like, a, I don't know, like a cat-themed stage or something like that, or Neon Bowser Castle.
They sort of did that for 7 when they took the Tanuki Leaf. That was, I guess, the only real reference they had outside of the games. But it would be cool. Like, since then, they've also had Dream Team, Sticker Star, and Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think I've seen any Luigi's. I don't think that's one of the things that doesn't translate as often, is we don't tend to get it out of Ghost House. That was
Well, the biggest, like, the last time you really saw, like, a true Ghost House was from Super Nintendo. Well, no, there was Banshee Boardwalk in
Banshee Boardwalk
in 64, well, but.
And I think
the Ghost House, like, where there was, like, the holes in the maps and stuff like that. Like, I thought that was really the Ghost Houses in Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo. I thought were some of the toughest stages. Because it was just like a Rainbow Road. Like, there's no edges on most of the corners, and it was tight. And again, they had those holes, and then there's the shortcuts where you could jump parts of the track and stuff.
There's a
reason why I love that game.
I guess part of that might have been that those things probably aren't as easy to negotiate in a 3D. Like, they're probably easier to negotiate in a 3D space where it doesn't make it as challenging.
The newer ones, you can't jump at all, right? It's just, it's all ramps, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah. Because then, with Super Mario Kart, like, that's how you kind of did your drifts in a way, is you just kind of hopped around the corner to make a tighter corner.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's the same thing with kind of somebody, you get water stages now because waters used to be hazards. Like, you avoided them because it slowed you down or you fell off the map. And now it's just like, we'll just turn you into a mini sub because it's just dumb to make this a challenge when it's not really a challenge in his actual games.
Yeah. And there's different, like, mechanics that way. Like, some of them, they have a little bit of a different sort of, like, speed and whatnot. When you're falling down objects in underwater, you go a little slowly.
Yeah. I guess my big thing with the games would be that I'm just really disappointed that even in this one, with the anti-grav, I'm surprised that they didn't have more that was influenced by the Galaxy games.
Like, there's only really the new Rainbow Road, and that's about it.
Yeah, and that's not even so. That's not even a ton influenced by the Galaxy game. I think the Rainbow Road in 7, in fact, was more influenced by Galaxy.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
But yeah, it's like, you know, like, I feel the same way. I mean, Smash Bros. Has a stage, but I guess it's a hard concept to do outside of a game that's dedicated to it, because I think the idea of just kind of doing like this gravity, like these little planetoids and kind of racing along the dam and having gravity would be interesting, but it's probably novel and be way too different for a single one-off stage if you didn't have an entire game wrapped around it. But when they said they were doing the anti-gravity, that's kind of what I expected. And I guess in some ways that's what you're getting, because you can drive upside down and along the side of the walls, which I guess is kind of a Galaxy influence. But I just felt like there should have been that thing that said, this is a Galaxy stage.
Yeah, it definitely would have been cool and a no-brainer, honestly. But I don't know. I think there are different liberties they can take, and they probably, in some cases, maybe should have taken from the direct games. Like, when you guys were talking about the Ghost Houses, what came to mind is that the Banshee Boardwalk and the Super Nintendo Ghost House stage are almost directly like Ghost Houses from the 2D platformers.
Yeah.
But recent ghost levels in Mario Kart games are more like Luigi's Mansion. So they're taking them out of different snippets of the game, and it's like they could do that with a little bit more. They have like lava stages, but those tend to be Bowser's Castle. They have mountain stages, but those tend to be DK. They could do a little bit more, incorporate it a little bit more with the other games in the Mario series, I think.
Yeah,
I don't think in the new one, I don't think there's any Donkey Kong stages, really.
I think he has a DK. I think he has a stage from, and this is where it kind of gets iffy. I believe he gets a stage from a remake in the Retro Cup, and I think he also gets a stage named after him, because he always does. And
there's swamp ruins. Maybe that would kind of be it. Maybe, no, but
I could have swore he had one because I thought there was another Donkey Kong Country stage. But I guess it doesn't. Okay,
any of the other ones are all remakes. Like there's DK Jungle from 3DS.
Oh, that's awesome! I haven't been following Mario Kart 8 at all, so this is all cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. But I noticed that Sweet Sweet Canyon. That do you think that would probably be like a tribute to maybe like Wreck-It Ralph, or is that from a game?
I think that's a tribute. I think and kind of going again. I think that's a tribute to the Galaxy games. Because the Galaxy games did, I think, Sweet Sweet Galaxy. Yeah.
But just looking at the art, like the art style that they kind of used, it kind of really reminds me of.
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph. And I think it's probably Wreck-It Ralph paying homage to Mario and Mario paying homage to Wreck-It Ralph when you're paying homage to Mario. So it's basically like, yeah, we're just kind of... But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, especially aesthetically, as you said, it looks like it would be a Wreck-It Ralph type deal. And honestly speaking, it's not a bad comparison to make if you're Nintendo. It's a movie that people like and relate to. So why not say like, hey, look, we have something like Wreck-It Ralph. Especially being that nobody has a Wreck-It Ralph video game.
Yeah. I would have really liked to see a new like Wario level, like the dirt tracks. I mean, there's some remakes in the Retro Course Cups, but that was one of my favorite courses. Those were always my favorite courses whenever they did those.
Yeah, like Waluigi. What's it called? Waluigi Pinball, I guess, is sort of like it, but.
Yeah, there's Waluigi Stadium and then Mario Kart 64 Wario Stadium. I always thought those were really fun. And one thing they never ever did again, I don't think, was the Yoshi Valley. Remember how hard that was?
Yep, that was awesome because the map was just a question mark.
Oh yeah, you had no idea where to go. Like I actually found that much more difficult than Rainbow Road.
That was a really cool map because you could go like three or four different ways, and that's why it was a question mark. You had no idea to quantify if you're in first or last.
Yeah.
Well, they've remade that for this game as well.
Yeah. Oh wait, really?
Yeah, the retro courses, which I guess real quick, the retro courses were introduced in Mario Kart DS technically as a feature. I believe that Mario Kart Super Circuit had all of the Super Mario Karts in it. Super Mario Kart courses in it as an unlock. You can unlock the whole first game set of levels. But the retro courses were introduced as a concept in Mario Kart DS, and they have been with the series since then, which honestly is a genius move. Like, you already have, you've developed at that point with 16, I think the first game had 20. And you had three games with 16, so you had like 50 courses you can remake, and it's like easy work. You don't have to do 32, and it's a great way to double the number of courses in there.
Yeah.
And the problem is, of course, everybody has their own favorites, and everybody wants this one to be in it, and they want that one to be in it. So far, they haven't reused any of the courses yet. Yeah. And I guess they really don't have to, because they use, two or three from each game. And you always add a new game, so like next time they'll have Mario Kart 8 to steal courses from. And they've already used, they have more from 3DS and stuff like that. Anyhow, the retro courses in this game are Moo Moo Meadows, which is from the Wii version.
Sweet.
Mario Circuit. Cheap Beach. Toad's Turnpike, which is one that they keep on trying to remake.
Wait, from which game though?
N64.
Oh, sweet.
They brought that one back before, haven't they? That wasn't that in the Wii version?
Double Dashes was it?
No, they had something like it in Double. I think they've always tried to do something like it in the games, where they kind of had that one busy highway street.
Yeah, Toads.
I think in the Wii version
Highway.
Yeah, I think in the Wii version it was like a highway, but it was during the day, and like it had the bridge that you can cross.
In 64, it was sort of at night, but it was like a typical turnpike. In Double Dash, it was like the crossways and whatnot.
Yeah. They have Dry Desert, which is not one of my favorites from the GameCube game. Donut Change 3, because, like we said, Mario Kart, Super Mario Kart were usually out of names.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, I guess that was a actual, that was from Super Mario World, which is where a lot of those stages come from.
The old games sound so generic, though, when you put them, like, a number beside them, though.
Yeah. Especially when you realize, like, everything is, like, 3 or 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
Royal Raceway from N64. Which I'm sure a lot of people will be disappointed in. I think they got rid of the shortcut. Not the shortcut, but I think you can, like, you can drive up to Urakasu.
Yeah, you could.
The DK Jungle, Wario Stadium, Cerber Inn, which again wasn't my favorite from the GameCube one. Music Park, which is actually one of my favorite gimmicks.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite one from all of the games.
I think my second favorite one is from DS, and it's the Battleship one.
That's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, that was because you have everything like shooting. It gets an actual like ship from the game, so you have like the things throwing wrenches at you and like the thick cannons going off. It's just a really fun stage.
Yeah.
Yoshi Valley, Tick-Tock.
Oh, yes, I love that one, too.
Piranha Pants Side.
Another good one.
Grumble Volcano. I'm kind of curious about that one, because in the Wii version, I believe that's one of the few stages that actually changes as the game goes on. And
much from Wii version.
Well, it's like part of the stage starts to fall off every time you go through the app, so like the paths become narrower or they become different. And they have Rainbow Road from the N64 game, which is my least favorite Rainbow Road game, the stage.
It's pretty generic, yeah.
Not only is it generic, but the entire stage had ramps. Like, you couldn't fall off. What's the point of Rainbow Road, then?
Yeah, the only thing that made it cool was the seeing everybody in the stars kind of made it like a credits roll for me, at least. And then the Chain Chomps made it a little bit interesting. But they seemed to come out of nowhere, even though you could see so far ahead of you on the course because it was so flat and just...
boring.
Empty. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
pretty
boring.
I mean, personally speaking, I don't get what people see in Mario Kart 64, but this is coming from somebody who played it later on.
Yeah, it's pretty boring even back in the day, I think at least.
I was okay with it.
As a final stage, they tried to... I have a little bit of an issue with Rainbow Road because they sort of made 64 pretty generic, then they made DS and GameCube pretty fun and like exciting and kind of like the final stage. It's like definitely the hardest, but then Wii's was absolutely insane. It was so difficult compared to the last Rainbow Road.
It was so difficult in Wii. It was just, that was the first one that I had played that incorporated like the tricks and the jumps and different things like that. So I think that what made it more difficult was trying to do the tricks and do the extra stuff. If you actually just race the race, it wasn't that hard.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too, because there were a lot of points where like the stage will kind of do that wobbly thing where you can get a trick on like the bumps if you time it right.
Yeah, but, and then there was that part in the middle that it like went into a great big circle and you could ramp up the sides and then jump over the middle, and it was that's when it became a nightmare, is when I found that when you tried to basically show off.
Or you tried to actually play the game.
Yeah, but that's what made it obnoxious. It was so, there were so many points where you could do that, where it's like, the GameCube one, Double Dash had its own sort of like, this part's going to get you if you're not good at drifting, or this part's going to get you if you're not good at this or that. But Wii one just felt punishing. It didn't feel fun, it felt punishing.
No one got good at it. It was just, that's where everybody died.
Yeah, it felt like it was constantly like, and maybe this is what like is fun about Mario Kart games, but it constantly felt like you were falling from first to 12th to first to 12th and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's Mario Kart. I mean, Mario Kart is the game where you somehow get hit by a blue shell, a red shell, and a green shell all at once, and you go from first place at the finish line to like 8th.
Yeah.
And you get upset, you curse, and you carry on, but you know what you do? You just retry, and you try it again.
Yeah, I guess.
And it, like I said, it's one of the reasons why I always had fun with the games, because it's one of those games, and, you know, it depends on who you are and the type of games you play, but I've played most of the games where it's really fun for a while, and then there's just a huge gap in skill, where it's just like you're getting the Maj, or you don't have people who are in your level, so it's kind of boring. And I think that Mario Kart has always struck in that balance where it's always kind of fun, even if you come in fifth place 10 times in a row, because it's like, oh, it's, I could have done better if I got a different track, or I know what to do now. Or if it wasn't for that damn red shell at the very last second, I could have done something better. So yeah, there's always been that element to it. And like I said, I mean, while it does favor kind of Throckmorton skill, there is still skill involved. We kind of highlighted that with the, you know, it starts with who you pick and what type of vehicle you get. But there's also stuff like, you know,
Koopa Troopa every time.
You know, there's stuff like drifting. There's stuff like they started. I guess it's also drifting when you kind of go behind somebody.
Yeah, like drafting, I guess. As
yeah,
opposed
drafting,
to drifting.
There we go.
There's the smash button in Double Dash, which was skill because you could steal items and also because you could just hit them.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's what I want back from Double Dash the most. Like, I'm okay not bringing back the double racers and the double items and stuff, but I thought that was a pretty strategic move, too, stealing items.
Well, they did. They changed it up a bit in this game because and I don't even know the logic behind this, but it's Mario games or whatever. But if you hit somebody or hit something while an anti-grav, it gives you a speed boost instead of spinning you out.
Huh.
But you can also steal items in it, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah, if you if they have... if they're holding an item and it's spinning around them, you can actually steal the items by bumping into them.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's not.
The
it's
eight
not
item.
What's that?
Yeah, the ducky number 8. It's the same item from.
Seven.
I think they had a ducky. Yeah, yep. They had a ducky number 7 and 7. And like, if they have like a star or mushroom, you can go into it. But that also risks. Like, if they have a turtle shell, you can run into that as well.
Yep, exactly.
Can I just say something about the 7, by the way? One thing that actually annoyed me about Mario Kart 7 more than I think it should have. Was on the back of the box, they advertise the new features of it, which are valid, whatever, and they advertise the new items, and they said 3 new items. Those 3 new items were the Fire Flower, which was a fireball from Double Dash, the Tanuki Leaf, which was an actual new item, and the 7, which was just 7 old items. So their 3 new items were actually 1 new item.
Yeah, they're advertising the 8 as a new item as well in this game. And I mean, it's not even, like, it's the same thing. Like, you couldn't call it 7 because this is the 8th game. But it's the same thing that it was 7. It's one more item.
Yep, that really bugged me a lot more than I think it should have.
I was actually a little sad to see them bring the Bullet Bill back. That was one of my least favorite items in the other game.
Oh, yeah, that and Chain Chomp, I actually do not like either of them.
Yeah, the Chain, I don't think they brought the Chain Chomp back, but...
I don't think it's in 7, but it's in 8. I think.
Ugh. My problem with both of those is actually the same, is that you get them and you just don't do anything. You get them and you just let go of the controller for a second.
Yeah.
I was going to say my problem with them is actually kind of the opposite, especially with the Chain Chomp. I guess, I mean, maybe I just didn't know, but I never timed it, so I never knew when I got back control, so there's always that moment where you just go, and you kind of...
panic?
Yeah, it's like 1 or 2 seconds, because sometimes it will just kind of give you shrinking, like, oh crap, I'm on the edge, so you have to steer real quick or something like that. It's not something I never learned how to time it, so it's always like, I'll just wait until it's over. Oh, it's over, let me get back control of my character now. But again, it's always been fun. I'm trying to see. I mean, speaking of new items, actually, this does have 4 new items. And I guess kind of talking about the recent Mario games, it has the boomerang flower, which has become popular in 3D and in 3D World. And I believe you can throw it 3 times.
Oh, I don't know. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Hitting racers forward when it returns.
Yeah. Piranha Plant, which again is influenced by 3D World.
That looks like a really cool item.
The Piranha Plant seems like the replacement for the Chain Chomp, because it also pulls you forward.
It seems like the most skill-based, too, because you kind of got to use it when you're near enemies, rather than the star is just like you get an automatic speed boost, but if you hit somebody, that's also pretty good. Or the red shell, you just let it fly, and you're pretty much guaranteed you're going to hit someone.
Well, I believe the Piranha Plant automatically snaps at somebody near you. I don't think you trigger it.
I kind of figured that, but, like, you still kind of want to use it near somebody, because then it's going to give
you
a little bit more of a boost.
You always want to use an item near somebody.
Well, but like, you can use the red shell from all the way in 12th place, and there can be nobody near you, and you're pretty much guaranteed to hit somebody. Or you can use the star, and there's nobody around you, and you'll still get the speed boost off of it, but you just won't influence anyone else.
Oh, gosh, that reminds me of my least favorite item, the crowd. I think it's so stupid, because usually when you get it, you're so far back that you're not going to run into somebody to bump into to give it away. So
yeah.
You get the speed boost, and then you can lose it all anyhow. So And they added the super horn, which is what everybody wanted. a proper way to counter the brew shell. And speaking of the brew shell, it actually has a change in this game as well. Well, not a change. It's a combination, I guess. Because in Mario Kart 64, the brew shell drove along the floor. And
oh, God, does it actually drive around the floor again?
Yeah, it drives around the floor until, I think, like, fourth place, and then it flies up and aims after the person in first.
Oh. Yeah, because the Wii just, like, shot up in the air and automatically hit the guy in the first place.
That's really cool, actually. That's a good compromise. It hits anybody until fourth place, and then it gets the first place guy. Potentially.
Targets the racers in first place, knocking over all other carts in its path, so I think it's just right on the ground all the way.
It eventually does go up into the air at some point.
That's cool.
I don't know when, but it does go up into the air. It's an interesting compromise. I'm not sure if I'm on board with that. There's nothing better than hearing that wisdom song in the blue show when you're not in first place and knowing somebody's screwed.
Or just when you're in, like, fourth place or something, you're idly trying to get back and you're getting really competitive at the person in front of you, and then all of a sudden you see a blue show whiz by and you're like, yes!
Or you're second, and you know, like, I'm going to take a break, or I'm going to turn wider on this person.
Actually, there you go. That's the reason to use the break, is when you're in second place, and the blue shell's hitting first place. Only time I've actually used breaks in, like, a race.
Even if I wouldn't use the break, I would just kind of turn wide. I guess it's a really close thing, and then I would try to break. It's kind of like when you throw up a bomb in front of you, and you realize you're going to run into it, and you're screwed either way.
Yeah.
It's like, no! But, yeah, there's a lot of interesting changes, and from what review said, because this has been reviewing well, I think it's currently at 90% on Metacritic.
I don't think I've seen any real downfalls other than the battle mode yet.
Yeah, and it's a weird thing to review, I think. And I in general, I think Mario Kart's a weird game to review. I know you have to do it, but it's a weird game because, like, even if it reviews poorly, as long as it controls well, I don't think anybody's going to care. People are going to have fun with it. Like, you know, people have their preferences. Like, Sean doesn't like Wii because he feels the items are unbalanced. Some people don't like it because they feel the bike's unbalanced. You feel it's chaotic.
Yeah, no, it was, it was a bit unbalanced. I just found, like, a lot of the losing items, like, just hold on a second, let me pull it up. Like, you had, like, the Bullet Bill, you had the Chain Chomp, you had the Thundercloud, the Lightning, the Blue Shell, kind of the Red Shell, but I mean, I know that stuff, like, some of that stuff has been in every game. It just seemed like, oh, and the Blooper, too. Like, it seemed like everything targeted, like, the first players, and it was so unbalanced, and I felt that a lot of the items were really cheap. And the other games, like, yes, there was some skill involved, but in the same hand is that the racing, it was more of a racing-based game. The Wii one just felt like a free-for-all 100% of the time. I didn't really associate it with a racing game, and I think that was my biggest beef about it, is that I always felt like I was just kind of in battle mode, and probably the reason why prominent on the racing, which I'm really excited about, and, you know, kind of, I think this is the Mario Kart game that I've been waiting for since Double Dash, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, people just like the DS version because of Snake, in which was one of the few pretty skill-based techniques in the game. But if you didn't know how to do it, it just became a really uneven race.
It was just annoying. It always looked like someone was hacking online because they were just doing this thing where they were kind of jumping ahead.
Yeah. I know that Mario Kart 7 and Nintendo Learn How to Patch games had that huge... There was like a track where there was like a huge shortcut, and if you got it, you pretty much jump to first place because it cut out like a third of the map.
Yeah, on Woohoo Mountain?
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, and the problem with that, and I appreciate this system, there's really no right way to do it, I guess, is that what would happen, since this community voted, is like everybody would vote on that map because they all knew the trick. So yep. it destroys the online experience because of that, but it also destroys it because it's always the same map.
Yeah. I was actually going to mention, related to that map, because this is kind of a new feature that's fairly recent in the game, is they've added stages so that they're not all just three laps. And, I mean, it, all of them, I think, up till 64 were all three laps specifically. But then in Double Dash, they had maps that were two laps, or Baby Park that was eight laps or something like that. And then recently they've done stages that are not laps but chunks of it. So you play it in thirds.
Yeah, that's what Woohoo Mountain was, right?
Yeah, and then that's what the 64 Rainbow Road is. So instead of playing it three times, really boring, you play just one-third, two-thirds, three-thirds.
Yeah, and I believe there's some other ones. I think it's not, is it? I know what's it called is the Mount Wario is a downhill one as well. That's a one-lap thing. It's just straight down the mountain, which is kind of cool. And I think there's another one where you're driving down the waterfall. I don't know what that
is. I wonder if it's going to be laps, Mario, or is it just going to be basically a race to the bottom type thing?
No, it's a race to the bottom. You can't you can't drive up a mountain.
According to
DK Mountain, you can.
Well, there's DK Mountain, and then there's in Wii, there was DK Summit. What you're thinking? Yeah, DK Summit from Wii was, remember you got to the bottom, and then there was like a chairlift thing or a little tube thing that shot you back up to the top, and it was three laps.
Double Dash, actually, right at pretty much at the start, you go up a little hill, and then a cannon shoots you to the top, and then you go all the way back down it, and then you cross a bridge, and you're at the start again.
Yeah, Earl.
I'm sorry if I don't know.
It was in a game before that happened. I think DS didn't have the three thirds. I think it's just been Wii 7 and 8 who have the maps cut into chunks rather than all of them being laps.
Yeah, it's according to Wiki, it's just the Mount Wario will be the fourth one. The others were Woohoo Loop, which I think is from Wii, Maka Woohoo, which I assume is the 3DS one.
Yeah, it's from 7.
Yes. And then the 3DS version of Rainbow Road was also just a straight map.
Yeah, which was actually really cool, but
yeah, I like the I've enjoyed most of I like Double Dash Rainbow Road. I like the recent Rainbow Roads. They seem to understand that you don't need barriers. But honestly, as much as I like Rainbow Roads, I found myself in a lot of recent games, I prefer Bowser's Castle.
Yeah, I think the same thing for me.
I find Bowser's Castle, they're so difficult because basically there are just 90-degree turns. There's no hope in hell. Like, if you don't make that turn, you're just going into a wall and getting stuck.
Yeah, 64 had that especially. Like, the area with the swamps is particularly prominent.
Well, almost, like, I found a lot of the courses from the original game on Super Nintendo. Like, a lot of the courses were like that. And you didn't really see a lot of courses kind of incorporate those, like, very square turns. Other than just Bowser's Castle, and that was it. That was really been the only maps that have always had those like perfectly 90-degree turns that you just are devastating if you take them the wrong way.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the reasons I like Bowser's Castle is because Bowser's Castle to me kind of seems like it's kind of like an RPG where like the final boss isn't as strong as the boss before him, because the boss before him kind of throws everything you should have learned at you, where the final boss is just kind of like this cheap, you have to learn a new strategy or you get this ultimate power-up. And it's kind of like Rainbow Road. Rainbow Road will take some of the elements from the core game, but Rainbow Road is always Rainbow Road. It's always going to be its own thing. It's not like you start on Mario Kart Stadium and you end on Rainbow Road. There's like no evolution from the two, but you start on like Mario Kart and then like Mario Kart Stadium, Mario Circuit, and then Bowser's Castle. That's a Mario game. You start in the Mushroom Kingdom, you end at Bowser's Castle. Rainbow Road is just that bonus at the end, and that's kind of what I feel with. That's why I kind of prefer Bowser's Castle. And this one looks really awesome, because I think this is the one that has to make, there's a giant Bowser statue that punches the stage at random points. It's awesome looking.
That is pretty cool. I like the one from Double Dash. The one from 64 was okay, because they had that like thwomp jail, which I always thought was really spooky. But then they had like going out on top of the castle, but I think Double Dash might be my favorite, because there was that like 90-degree turn where you could hit it just right, and like when he's spitting the fireballs at you, you could jump them if you were kind of in the area at the right time.
Oh, yes, and you can get that shortcut.
Yeah, there's a long stretch where he's just shooting fireballs at you in, like, three different points, kind of like in the old games where he shoots them at you as you approach him.
Excuse me.
And then there's a little gap where you can go through it, but if there's a fireball in the way, you're going into the lava. You're not only getting hit by the fireball, you're going into the lava, so you're getting double hit.
Yeah, and if you work through, you can probably, because sometimes you would end up at the same point with your friends, and it's a very narrow space, so one of you are going to make it, and one of you aren't. Or in some extreme cases, neither of you are going to make it. But yes, I think I'm gonna whip up my Double Dash after this. I haven't played it in such a long time. It's such a fun game.
Oh yeah, definitely.
What I think I would like them to bring back, like at some point in some future Mario game, which they don't really concentrate on. Like I find that a lot of the shortcuts are basically like anyone can take a jump. You just got to find the shortcut and hit it the right way type thing. I really enjoyed the skill based shortcuts. And I think I talked about it earlier, was like going back to Super Nintendo, like the Ghost Valleys, using like the feather to jump over parts of the track. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you miss that, then, you know, the race is pretty much over for you. Or, you know, kind of in 64, if you look at the Koopa Troopa Beach, where they had those like thin little jumps, and if you ramp it the wrong way, or if you go a little too far to the one side, then you miss the shortcut.
A good example of it too, the waterfall too.
Yeah, like those kind of shortcuts I found are kind of so very few and far between. It's more or less, once you know where the shortcut is, there's very little skill to it anymore. You just got to know where it's at, and that's pretty much it.
Well, I think Mario Kart to them, and it works out. Bless you all. I think they feel like it's their bridge title. It's the one game, because a lot of games try it. Not every game can succeed, but it's one of those games that works. At it does a good job of being you can kind of get into it if you're not big into video games. And I think that's one of those ways where it's like, oh, I found this shortcut. And I think you might do it because you're a skill, but I think there's some people who probably know the shortcut, but they can't hit it 100% of the times.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there are a lot of stages like that. Like, the one in Koopa Beach actually comes to mind because you have to hit it with a star, otherwise you're not going to make it through the cave. And there are certain ones that are like that. You have to have a certain item, otherwise you're not going to hit it just right.
Yep.
Or there's some where it's a very obvious shortcut, but it's like such a narrow passage that you have to drive it perfectly, so do you risk it?
Yeah, like the on the Wii version of Toad's Turnpike, you can go up the two little arches of the bridge, and that was really cool.
Yes, and they give you speed boosts, but it's very thin. It gets perfectly thin for a bike, but it's so for a kart.
Yeah.
I guess kind of going on with John's point, and this is what I was going to ask for this show, what do you want from the Mario Kart franchise in the future? Where do you see it going? Where do you want it to go?
That's going to be tricky. Where do I see it going? Unfortunately, I see it going Mario Kart 9 being the next game.
Oh, Mario Kart 40, yes, because the franchise has no name in convention whatsoever.
Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious that they kind of took a naming convention and then they kind of turned it into numbered games eventually. Like, they lost any sort of creativity they had with naming.
Even if it wasn't that creative, it was, like, I mean, it's been, like, okay, I'm not going to count Super Mario Kart because I think it was the first official Mario spinoff, and I feel like it was called Super Mario because he's called Super Mario, not because it was on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
So I'll give that one a pass, but they named it after the console Mario Kart 64. I don't know where the hell Super Circuit came from.
Yeah, who knows?
Double Dash doesn't make any sense.
Well, Dash came from the mechanic. It did. Other than that, it was a kind of a cool name, though.
No, I get that, but it's not a gay... I guess the run and start, like the one person behind you can push the cart.
Yeah, that's where Double Dash came from, is you have the two drivers plus that special start that you can get where you can get the blue fire behind you. That is called a Double Dash.
And you have to say it properly because there's two exclamation points in the title for some reason. Double Dash!
Double Dash, double exclamation.
And then they were like, okay, you know, we're tired of naming these things, so we're just going to go with Mario Kart DS and Mario Kart Wii. Yep. You know exactly what they were on.
I think Mario Kart 3DS gets a pass for being 7 only because it would have been Mario Kart 3D.
Yeah.
But even so, I feel like they could have done something else other than just numbering it at this point. And even like the Mario Kart 8 should have been something other than 7. Like 7 could have been just a one-off. I don't know. It's not that big a deal. It's not like it takes that much discussion or it's necessary, but it's a little bit annoying. It's a little bit disappointing.
Super, like Super, you're right. Super Circuit just kind of came out of nowhere, but the only real named one
is Double Dash.
Is Double Dash, and you're right. It's just based on the mechanic. So maybe they were thinking, okay, we would have to have a brand new mechanic to rename it. But again, where the hell did Super Circuit come from?
I mean, technically, 8 is named after a mechanic. It's named after the Mobius strip.
I guess, which is technically the Rainbow Road in the game. But other than that, it's nothing, really.
No, I think there's an actual Mobius strip stage. I think
that's what I mean. It's the Rainbow Road of the game.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, it's one track. It's like, oh, it makes a great graphic because you can have them drive and then it turns into an 8.
It was really cool, actually, in the direct when they showed, like, Rainbow Road and then they zoom out of it and then it becomes the 8 and the 8 becomes the graphic. That was cool, in fairness.
But yes, it's like, yeah, they call it Mario Kart Mobius strip or something like that.
Yeah, who knows? Mario Kart Gravity, I don't know.
I was going to say, call it Mario Kart Galaxy. You have the anti-grav already.
Yeah.
I guess this is something that pops up all the time after a new Mario Kart is announced or comes out. But people always say that they want a Nintendo Kart, kind of like Super Smash Brothers. I don't necessarily know if I want a Nintendo Kart, but I do think they can explore the option of maybe using... Like, we kind of have, you know, you kind of, I would imagine more, if they had Rare, this would probably make more sense. But if it did something closer to Diddy Kong Racing, where it's a proper land, sea, and air race competition, and you did, like, you know, I don't know, you had, like, little arrow wings for certain stages, and you had cars for certain stages, and I guess now with the steel diver, you had certain subs for stages or something like that, and then maybe you could have Nintendo characters, and then you could, like, you know, you can race around Hyrule Field, or you can race around Planet Zebes, or you can, I don't know, I don't know any underwater Nintendo games.
Steel Diver, of course.
But yes, I mean, Steel Diver is just water.
Yeah. I can sort of see that. I would more be a fan of them having just the different cart. When I saw 7 and they showed off the gliders and the subs, I was so excited because I'm like, oh my god, it's like Diddy Kong Racing where you can choose your cart and it'll be the same cart for everybody, like, the same course for everybody, but like you can access different parts of it if you choose the glider versus the sub. But that's not what the case was. Everybody had a glider and everybody had the sub. And that's a little disappointing. That would be what I would like from the series, is to take a little bit of a page out of Diddy Kong's book.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was what I was about to say. I love, because ultimately at that point, yes, there is the racing, but ultimately whatever vehicle you choose, like you got to be damn good at it, because you know, you look at like the hovercraft, and the hovercraft instantly has kind of a disadvantage on the road because it just slides all over the place, right? So
yeah, it's turning unless it's in water.
Yeah. No, I think the other thing that I would really like is like I see the customization in this one, and where you know you can customize the body and you know pick the wheels, and it does give you like a slight increase or decrease in, you know, your weight and your speed and different things like that. I think that'd be really cool. What I like, and it's kind of taken a page out of, old Need for Speed games, like specifically Underground. I love customization in any racing game. I love the fact that, you know, when you're building a kart or you're building a car, your car is not going to look like anyone else's car. So I think I'd really like to see that, whether it be you can change the fenders, you can change the color of the lights, or different things like that, or put decals on it. I think that would be really neat.
I guess if they did it in-game, I feel like Nintendo... Didn't they have a game that had emblems? Isn't that on Mario Kart DS?
DS, yeah.
Yeah. Again, another feature that they took out. I was going to say, I think Nintendo's biggest problem is always going to be image, because, like, you know, if you have... Your two handhelds and now your home console has a touchscreen. So you would think you'd give people the option to design it how they want, but their problem is always going to be that they don't want some pervert to draw like a penis on their cart or something.
Well, they have
like
penis
that.
Detection on the Wii U.
People would totally do that.
Get out, Justin.
This is what you come in for? Justin shows up for a penis joke and then goes home.
That's why he came in. He came in here, and what he did was he cursed our conversation and made up about penises.
I just saw the notification.
Well, it's a good thing we're wrapping up now. I guess final question, and I assume we all kind of said this while we were talking, but are you picking up Mario Kart 8? And
Continue.
I was going to say, if so, are you going digitally or physical?
That is what I was going to mention, was I have a pre-order down at GameStop, the GameStop next to where I work, for Mario Kart 8. I'm not actually working that Friday, though, so that didn't actually work out for me. But I just noticed when I plugged in my Wii U tonight that I have like $90 on my eShop account. I'm debating just getting rid of my pre-order.
I had it pre-ordered at GameStop, and I actually ended up canceling it when I picked up Watch Dogs yesterday. Mainly because, like, where I'm self-employed, I can just basically go into work whenever I want. So I'm going to go in fashionably late and stay up. It launches, I think, 1 a.m. My time on Friday, and I'm going to stay up and download it. And my wife, Michelle, is going to stay up with me, and we're just going to rock some Mario Kart for wee hours of the morning.
So,
I'd have to wait until, I think, 10 o'clock, and the next day, I think, is when GameStop opens. So, yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, that's my dilemma. I just saw a deal online, actually, at Toys R Us. This goes out to anybody else who wants to pick it up on Friday, I guess. But there's a deal where you can buy Mario Kart 8, I should say, and get 40% off a big selection of Wii U games.
Oh, sweet.
Wii U has no games. I don't know if you all follow me on Twitter, but I've been going through this debate for way too long. It took me like 2 weeks to decide what I wanted to do with it.
Yeah.
Because
are you still getting that debate?
No, I'm doing it digitally. Partially, I assume because the same reason Dan did. Best Buy was running a 20% off eShop card sales, and I just picked up a bunch of them. So, I mean, it's going to cost me $60 anyhow, but it's $60 that I spent last Christmas, and in actuality, it was something like $30 I got it for. And then you get the 10% back. And partially because of Sean, I just wanted to get it at midnight. because part of the reason of owning anything physical is that one of it is you always have the temptation to sell it because it has a value. I've had every Mario Kart game since Mario Kart Super Circuit, and I haven't sold any of them. And
yeah, there's certain games I don't part with. There's like, I'm a big collector, so there's some games that, like, I don't care, like, I'll trade in because they're so common and I don't really find a replay value in them. But, like, Mario games, like Zelda games, I generally keep them all. So, for me, like, I bought Watch Dogs digitally. It's a really good game, but once I beat it, I don't know if I'm going to hold on to it. I'll probably just trade it in.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, so like with something like this with Mario Kart, like where I feel like there's a big collector like following with any Mario game period, whether it be Mario Kart, you know, Mario Golf, Mario Party. Well, maybe not so much Mario Party, but I don't think I would trade it. I would try to get rid of it anyway, so digital is fine with me.
What system do you have Watch Dogs for?
PS4.
Oh, all right, never mind.
Okay, we can talk about Watch Dogs in a bit.
Yeah, derailing the Mario Kart conversation, non-believer.
I was also going to say another reason, and I kind of mentioned this earlier, is that Mario Kart is one of those games I enjoy playing with friends, and sometimes it's kind of like, oh, you want to play, you know, like you want to hop online and play Mario Kart real quick, and I just find that it's more convenient to have it on the system than trying to locate a disc or a case, which probably sounds like a really, really first world problem.
It kind of is, but at the same time, this is a PSA to anyone who doesn't own Mario Kart 7. Get it digitally. It's the best decision ever.
Yeah, there's certain games I feel like work better. Like, I feel like Animal Crossing is a game that you get digitally.
Yes, Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Mario Kart 7, you're set. That's your digital collection.
Yeah,
no ifs, ands, or buts.
Those games that you want to, like, it's not a game that you want to carry around all the time, but it's a game you want to check in with.
I'm just going to say this out of personal experience, going to cons and having Pokemon and Animal Crossing always on me, I wish that I had Mario Kart 7 when digital games were around or was a thing for 3DS. Because that would be so much fun to just whip out your 3DS and be like, hey, we're playing Mario Kart right now. Instead, I have to carry it around in the little container for the physical game.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I go, because like, you know, I always carry around one 3DS game with me, and that's whatever's in the system. And usually it's not Mario Kart, because Mario Kart is fun, but it's not fun for a trip or something like that.
Yep.
But if it's all, if I have it on the system, it's easy to pick up and pay, and it's easy to say you want to pay real quick. You can pay for like 10 minutes, and it's already on the system. I gotta find a disc or a disc tag where you.
Or
put
if
a disc
it comes down to like a physical altercation at a bar or something like that, you're like, do you want to settle this on the track?
that was my big thing with going. That was my big debate with going physical. Is like it's one of those games I do have to carry around and pay with friends. But as of right now, none of my friends actually own a Wii U, so I'd have to ring the system anyhow.
But they will, because I know a lot of people who are not going to own a Wii U until Mario Kart 8 comes out, and that's 2 days away now. So
It's a great time to pick up a Wii U as a PSA for Nintendo, apparently. I actually got my friend... I mean, okay, first off, if you're picking up Mario Kart 8 and you do not notice, I don't know what type of rock you've been under, if you register it on Club Nintendo, I believe by the end of July... you get a free game for your Wii U. In North America, you get to pick between New Super Mario Bros. U, Wii Party U, The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD, or Pikmin 3. I can honestly say that you can go wrong with only one of those titles, and even then, I don't think it's a terrible title, but I think it's the lesser of the four.
I know exactly what you're going to say, and it's the one that I don't own, because if you're a smart Wii U owner from the start, you have all three of the good ones already.
I don't have two of them, and
really,
I only have New Super Mario Bros. U. I should say, I don't own Wind Waker because of my principle of not buying HD remakes or remasters. I think
you don't.
I think it's dumb.
What's wrong with you?
I think it's dumb if I already own the game, but if I'm getting it for free, I have no problem picking up Wind Waker HD again. If you're in Europe, you get a lot more sections. I believe you get something like 10 games to choose from.
Yeah, I wish we were Europe sometimes.
But it's a fantastic deal. I mean, the Wii U, any Wii U bundle you buy now comes with a game of some capacity.
Yeah.
Well, all those games are still full price, too. Like I think they're all still $59.99.
Yeah, I was going to say, actually, I just went on the eShop while we were having this podcast, and there are three different discrepancies in price. New Super Mario Bros. U and Pikmin are both $60. Wind Waker is $50, and Wii Party U is $40.
Yeah.
Oh.
And there is actually a different value you're getting out of this, which is also
why I don't suggest picking up Wii Party U.
Yeah.
But yes, in addition to that, any Wii U bundle you pick up has a game. You can get the New Super Mario Bros. Bundle, which comes with New Super Mario Bros. U and New Super Luigi U. You can get the Mario Kart 8 bundle, which comes with Mario Kart 8 and an extra Wii remote and a wheel for $330. You can get the Skylanders bundle, and I think they still have the Nintendo Land bundle in some places. And so my friend got, they have a lot of sales. I think it was Kyle Boone that had a Wii U Nintendo Land bundle for $180.
Dang, son.
He got that. He's going to buy Mario Kart. He's going to get Wind Waker HD free, and he's going to buy Super Mario 3D World with the 40% off. So for less than $300, he's gotten himself four games.
Four arguably of the best games on the system, honestly.
I would say, I mean, it's a short generation, but right now, four of the best games you can buy for any of the three current systems on the market.
It's very true.
Or 3.5. I know some people are going to question Nintendo Land. You can say that, but I don't think...
Oh, Nintendo Land's actually a surprisingly solid game.
Oh, I think Nintendo Land's fantastic, but I understand why people...
Do people, play Skylanders on Nintendo systems that much as compared to the others?
I own Disney Infinity on Wii U, and I own also a 360 and a PC. Well,
I bought my 3-year-old Disney Infinity, and we have a hard time getting him to play it because...
Okay. Oh, all right. Never mind.
Doesn't want to hold the controller.
I mean, just
we play it. He watches.
Just as a general aside, Skylanders sells best on Nintendo systems.
Okay. No, I did not know that.
I was gonna say, which is one of the reasons why Activision continues to put it out on the Wii U, because the Wii version still sells really well, and they probably don't want to eat up that market. Nintendo Family games tend to sell best on Nintendo system. Just Dance, Skylanders, Sonic games, any of the party games, any of that stuff sells best on Nintendo systems.
Yep.
As Nintendo has trained most people over the past 10 years, they also have no problem picking up plastic peripherals for everything. So there's that. But outside of our Wii U PSA, we will be back next week with I honestly don't know.